Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Instigators with Pauly D and Chris Kotsopoulos.
Oh, here we go.
That's a bunch of garbage.
And it's being proven right now.
Oh, absolutely. I was a staunch defender of that.
You know, if he doesn't stand on his head in the second period, we don't have a chance.
What a save by Lundqvist! But Henrik! Why not? That's the chance, and that's the reason why.
Fans are really, really knowledgeable on that, and I'm very impressed with that. If that's anybody else but Alex Ovechkin, that's an automatic suspension.
With this specific player, if he doesn't get 10 games or more, it's a disgrace in the face of the NHL.
Welcome to the insanity we call the Instigators Hockey Show. I'm Pauly D. He's former NHL defenseman Chris Kotsopoulos. Some of tonight's topics, obviously, will be all about the playoffs and the playoff brackets and breakdowns. One team that's already moved ahead, we'll talk New York Rangers, plus everything NHL, right here on the Instigators Hockey Show. Make sure you check out ChrisKotsopoulos.com, located in the link section of the show page. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you have a question or a comment for the show, would like to advertise with us, shoot us an email at theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. And if you need a website design or a page lift, Kotsy's Designs. Cody offers website and blog design, creation of logos, letter marks, combination marks, advertisement flyers, and so much more. For more details and contact information, go to kotsysdesigns.com. or follow the link located in the link section of the show page. As always, a quick shout-out to Pasco County I-9 Sports. I-9 Sports, an experience beyond the game. Whew. I got to tell you, man, it's been a long, hard week for me, man. I can't believe it's only Thursday. But this is always a lot of fun to be bringing the program in to all these crazy hockey fans, the insanity of the second season of the NHL and the playoffs. And, Kotz, it's, you know, we're not the greatest of predictors, but, you know, we got a couple winners and losers here along the way.
It's a good thing nobody takes our advice, right?
That's great.
Actually, I was pretty good up until the last couple of years, and then the last couple of years, things have kind of fallen off. I guess I'll have to buy that NHL package again because I canceled it this year to sharpen up my skills on these teams. But, hey, if I told you my real picks last time we had a show, Pauly, and then the picks I actually did on the show, I change things just to stir it up a little bit. So I went out on a limb on a couple, kind of hoping. But didn't work out.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to all of that shortly, but as always, this date in hockey history to start the show, April 23rd, 2002. I'll do this for Kotsy. Patrick Roy became the first goaltender in NHL in NHL history to record 20 career playoff shutouts. The Avalanche beat the Kings 1-0 in Los Angeles in Game 4 of the Western Conference Quarterfinals. On April 23, 1964, Toronto Maple Leafs' Bobby Bourne scored the overtime winning goal at 1:43 while playing on a broken leg to defeat the Red Wings 4-3 in Game 6 of the Finals. The Leafs won two nights later to win the Stanley Cup. Broken leg. And April 23rd, 2002, once again, Brent Johnson became the first goaltender in NHL history to earn shutouts in his first three career playoff victories. The Blues won 1-0 against the Blackhawks in Chicago in Game 4 of the Western Conference quarterfinals. I remember Brent Johnson. I didn't know he became the first goaltender in history. Yeah. earned shutouts in his first career playoffs. That's pretty cool. And that's what I got for this date in hockey history.
Well, let's get right to the Patrick Roy one. Listen, folks, it doesn't mean rookie of the year either. Patrick Roy, but and Bobby Bond. You know, the one thing about Bobby Bond, I grew up watching him as a Toronto Maple Leaf, and I remember they traded him away. I can't remember who it was to Detroit, and caused a big uproar in Toronto at the time. And but I grew up watching him, and you know, the broken leg thing is a nice story. You know, the guy was tough as nails. It really wasn't a broken leg like what people think. It was like a hairline fracture, but nevertheless. You know, you're talking early 60s there. I mean, just to come back out in the ice in overtime and score that winning goal and all that was pretty incredible. There's an old video of him them helping him off the ice, two players picking him up and helping him off the ice after he scored the goal. So that's a big-time goal in Maple Leaf history. And Brent Johnson, yeah, that's pretty incredible. Three in a row. Three shutouts in a row in the playoffs. I guess he didn't play in the 80s, that's for sure.
I love the history end of so many things.
Yeah,
you know, it's cool because there's so many things. It's like, oh wow, you know, I feel like every time, and this is the one real consistent thing I feel is very necessary for the show, because
yeah,
there's so many little tidbits and facts and stuff like that. It's kind of, it's very unique, and it's like a little hockey education, and you know.
No, really, I think it's been a great addition to the show, Paulie, because again, it's history. It's also like, you know, gives people a little bit of education on other teams and other things that happened throughout the NHL and its history. And I've always said to you, you know, if you're a real fan of your team, you got to know the history of your team. So. In a way, you kind of do that, but you spread it around to all the teams.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I can't stand fans that, well, you know, I became a fan in 1990 and then I know nothing from 89 back. Well, if you become a fan in 1990, why not take a peek back and see the history of the team, how it started, how it progressed through the centuries and stuff like that? I mean, if you're a real fan, you should know a little bit about that.
Yeah, I agree. It's great. My biggest issue, and one of the reasons why I do this, and I have to tell you, most people, if you really know me, I am filled with lots and lots and lots and lots of information that, unfortunately, a lot of it begins to fall off, and you know, you lose it and you forget things. And now I'm a very busy guy. I work a very strenuous job. I put this show together. It's one of the reasons why I love this, because it's like, and I probably won't remember this in 3 or 4 weeks, but there's always 4 or 5 that really stick in, you know, and, you know, it's cool. So, yeah, I love the history part of the game. And actually, I'm a dinosaur when it comes to hockey. You know, I love the old game. I love the old style. I love that. So it is what it is. But moving forward, we got a lot to do. We got a lot to talk about. So the first thing I do want to talk about, and, you know, I didn't pull an article because I saw the game. I watched it. I read some articles and retained very little. But Kotze and I kind of had this discussion last night, and I thought it was important because, again, we are the instigators, and sometimes it's time to stir it up. But I'll just state how I feel. I think everybody knows that both and I, you and I, and many hockey fans agree on a lot of things, especially with the not so happy about the way the NHL changes and changes so quickly. And I think we've covered that a trillion times on the show, and you know, brought articles up, and we've talked about it and debated it and done all that kind of thing. But, you know, even in today's NHL, there's something that bothers me. And what bothers me is, you know, the headshot thing. And, you know, at first I felt like the NHL should address the headshots. I think they've taken it to the biggest extreme that you can. And I know Kotze and I agree on some things and disagree on others. What I'm getting to is, Dustin Byfuglien and the series with the Anaheim Ducks. And I was watching the game. Corey Berry scores a goal. I believe it was on the just after a power play or whatever it was. It might have been a power play goal. He's celebrating. He's got his hands up, and he's looking towards the back of the net and the glass. And Dustin Byfuglien comes up and just shuttlecocks him right in the back of the neck and kind of drives him into the boards a little bit. And I thought to myself, now, don't get me wrong, guys. I really like Dustin Byfuglien, and I love his nastiness. And I know he got suspended for the cross-check on JT Miller in the back of the head, vicious intent, blah, blah, blah. I get it. This is where I think the game has made so many mistakes. Inside a hockey play, if you hit a guy in the head, and if you know anything or if you've ever played the game on any level, you got to make split-second decisions. It's one of the fastest-moving games in the world. It's funny how Wilson's check on Vishnovsky is a completely legal check. He gets 2 minutes. This is after the play. Dustin Byfuglien decides to take liberties after a goal is scored, and he receives the same 2 minutes. I feel this is where the NHL is unjustified with the way that they maintain this game. I would much rather see Wilson not get a penalty for what he did because he was inside the game. But Dustin Byfuglien, I believe, should have received at least 4 minutes, if not a 10-minute misconduct. I'm going to leave it there and let Kotze put in his words because we had this discussion a little bit, and I think it's important for everybody to hear everything.
Well, you know, I don't know where to start with this because we've discussed this so many times. There's so many ways for me to attack it, but this is the NHL that you have today, Paul. This is the way it works. I mean, you have everybody that skates around on the ice, they all think they're Bob Probert's today, that nobody can touch them, nobody can do anything to them. And Dustin Byfuglien's one of them. Mind you, Dustin Byfuglien he'll bite back at you. I mean, he's big enough, he's strong enough, and he's tough enough. What he did is what he did. But, you know, I had two thoughts on the thing. I totally agree with you. I think the NHL could have, or the officials at the time probably could have given him an extra two, or they could have given him a 2 and a 10, whatever, you know, to let him know that they're not going to put up with that crap. So you got to remember, the officials, when they start a game, you're either going to call it one way, and it's going to have to stay that way the rest of the game. So you can set justice right off the bat in a game, but in that situation, I agree with you. But I also want to tell you how the NHL is today. Dustin Byfuglien did what he did because he knows he can do it.
Right.
How many Anaheim Ducks did you see or whatever? They're not even the Ducks anymore. I don't know what they're called, but how many of them? Yeah, they're still the Ducks, not the Mighty Ducks. How many Ducks did you see go after him after that? Immediately.
Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody went after him. Well, yeah, a couple guys, you know, did a little bit of a drive-by, but, you know, that's what they all do today. It's all drive-by stuff. You know, like just the fake fight, the fake arguing, the fake everything. This is what the NHL's produced, Paulie. It's the bottom line. I mean, when you go back to the Wilson hit, there's nothing wrong with the Wilson hit. That's Lubomir Vishnovsky just not understanding. You know, you've been in the league for 1,400 years, and you don't understand that when you come around a net like that, that there's a possibility of you getting drilled. You know, and
right.
You're right.
Right.
He got a 2 minute penalty for that. And I totally disagree with that, but this is the way the NHL is today. And, you know, we can sit here and slice it, dice it, analyze it, dissect it all we want. The NHL knows better, Paulie. They always have. They always will.
Right.
I'm being sarcastic.
And you know what? I like the fact that you put it in layman's terms for everybody, because the bottom line is, as we've said a billion times, it's just the culture and what has happened inside this game. They just, it's obvious, they just don't get it, and they don't get it right at least 70-80% of the time. Because in this case, first of all, I think the official needs to do his job. But and more importantly, you had brought up another subject that we talked about, the time Hunter took out Turgeon. I mean,
yeah.
That turned into know, that turned into almost an absolute brawl.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's surprising. I mean, obviously it's Dustin Byfuglien, but in today's day and age, you know, then two guys have to go after him. Whatever you got to do.
All five guys on the ice should have went after Dustin Byfuglien after that. It's Corey Perry, not Corey Joe.
Right, and the mindset isn't there. Exactly. And the mindset is not there anymore in the game, and that's a great point that you bring out. And I want to exemplify is that that mindset is no longer in the game. And with that being said, the NHL has caused that for the most part.
Sure they have.
Right? And
it's
yet,
their fault.
And yet, the NHL has yet to rectify situations with their rule book in that situation. So, again, it just proves my point that they just don't get it, and they don't get it right 90% of the time. Because now you don't have the mindset.
No,
you don't have the mindset as a player, and the league doesn't do the right thing. So now you got two things. It's all wrong. They're worried about a great hit by Wilson gets called because everybody's so worried about the headshot thing. This guy's half bent over, like you said, should be expecting. It's inside the game. The puck's still moving. The whistle ain't blowing. It's inside the game. That's a great, fantastic hit. He gets 2 minutes.
Paulie, bottom line, officials get it wrong there.
Go ahead.
Bottom line is the players are complicit in it too because, again, let's see. I'm playing the Washington Capitals. I've watched enough of their games this year. Which players do you think are going to come and run at you with any kind of force? You got to know your scouting report, right? Wilson's going to be one of them. Lotta's going to be one of them. The jumping Russian Ovechkin's going to be one of them. You know what I mean? You got to know who's on the ice with you.
Right.
I don't blame Wilson at all. That's his job. That's his job is to go out there and play tough hockey, drop the gloves once in a while and stir it up. Vishnovsky should know better. But getting back to the Byfuglien point, this is the NHL's – they're complicit in this from the get-go, Paulie. I'll give you another example. Okay, what's changed because of the way the rules have changed. Even the slightest little skate by Sidney Crosby on Henrik Lundqvist, okay, in Game 3. Did you see any Ranger go after him?
Nope.
So what does that tell you about the mentality?
Oh, I know.
Player from the Rangers, even though, don't get me wrong, it was a very, you know, slight little shot that he gave Lundqvist to his head, you know, not really hard, and Lundqvist did embellish it a little bit. I don't care what anybody says, he did.
Absolutely.
I didn't see one Ranger meet Crosby at the other side of the net when he came around from behind it, like letting him know, touch my goalie again, you die.
Right.
I didn't see anybody.
Right.
So this is what's happened now because of the rules. You are not allowing the players to police themselves. The NHL feels they can do a better job, and let's ask the big question. How many people get hurt from punches compared to what the NHL thinks they're protecting in the last 5 years?
Right.
I think it's pretty simple. We know how many guys get hurt with dirty hits, dirty cheap shots, hits from behind, hits with their heads down, elbows to the head, sticks to the face. This is the stuff the NHL thinks is helping these players. And it's not. It's not. So it's a joke.
Yep.
And I don't care. You got me fired up a little bit now. I'm going to jump the gun a little bit here. My God, I'm still waiting for the arrests in Calgary in the Vancouver series. Fighting in the NHL? Where's Gary Bettman and his police force? They should be arresting these guys. How dare they? How dare?
Tom Wilson and
was it Anders Lee tonight there? They had a fight too.
Yeah.
Boy, we've got to arrest these guys.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's just, you know,
yeah.
Listen, Anybody's to blame, it starts at the top. Starts at the top of the NHL offices, goes down to the bottom floor, goes right out to the general managers and owners of the league that thought, that still think that they can protect the players better than the players can protect themselves. I'll stand right by that till the day I die.
Right. All right, a couple of real quick updates. Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay, Detroit's the end of the second period. Detroit is up 2-0, and it is also the end. It is also the end of the second period, and Washington is over the Islanders right now, 2-1. You know, don't even let me get into this TV scheduling, because I still don't get it, man. I gotta tell you. The million-dollar deals and this and that and the other thing. Games are on USA, CNBC. I don't know. I just don't think that this was well thought, well planned, well discussed. And then I gotta be on top of this, because before we start getting into series, I gotta tell you, I truly am. I'm going to write NBC. I am sick and tired of Pierre Maguire. He might know hockey. He might have been a coach. He might know a lot of things. But I tell you what, this guy's favoritism, this guy's analysis, it becomes to you have to understand now. I'm a New York Ranger hockey fan. I love hockey. I watch a lot of different hockey. Okay, tape games, watch games, you know, flip through channels, always have center ice, the whole nine. I listen to a lot of commentation. I listen, first of all, being part of and being a student of broadcast, you listen and you gather and you see what you like and what works and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, long story short, because I'll make it short. This man consistently seems to favor specific players in the game. And as someone who gets stuck, see, like you guys in the New York metro area or even just outside, you actually have a choice. You don't have to watch a game on NBC or CNBC. I have no choice, because what happens in the playoffs is that center ice no longer carries hockey games. Everything is NBC or their affiliates. So I have no choice but to listen to this rhetoric. And it is almost abusive to listen to Emmerich last night. And we're not going to talk Rangers right now, but to listen to Emmerich and to listen to Pierre, I have to tell you, Conte would tell you, he probably went to bed laughing. I was so aggravated between the game's intensity and having to listen to these two guys. Like, it's not fair. It's not fair to me. I want somebody who's neutral all the time, just stating, you know, I mean, I've listened to some great commentation out there, and these guys seem to constantly get the Penguins and the Capitals and all Pierre's favorite players. Send their asses out west. Let me get some new blood over here, because I'm sick and tired of it, man. I gotta tell you, NBC is killing me with their hockey coverage. It's horrific to listen to Pierre Maguire day in and day out. It just makes me sick. And I know Conte went to bed hysterical laughing last night, because I was an irate maniac between everything that was going on.
Oh yeah, you were all fired up last night, no question about it. But listen, I mean, you know, I do commentary for Quinnipiac, and I've done a little bit of TV when it comes to college hockey games and stuff like that. See, there's a fine line about being a homer and not a homer, or being favoritism or not favoritism. Listen, if your bread and butter is being paid by that team, like Craig Laughlin and Joe Beninetto there in Washington. We obviously understand that, because you're getting paid by Ted Leonsis, the owners of the Washington Capitals. Same thing with the Boston boys. I mean, they're as homer as they get. But, you know, Andy Brickley does a good job. The other guy is just a complete homer, period. I don't even want to mention his name. when I'm doing the Bobcats, I try really, really hard not to, but I find myself at times, you know, like favoring them too, because listen, that's who I'm getting paid by. That's who I'm with. That's the school I'm associated with. But when you're doing a national game, when I did games with Princeton and Yale, I had no dog in the race. You know what I mean? I had no dog in the fight or anything like that. No horse in the race, dog in the fight. So I was okay with that. I had no problem. I was like, you know, making sure one side got the fair commentary and the other side got the fair commentary. And I criticized both sides equally. That's what you need when you do a national game. And that's what they're doing. They're putting Pierre McGuire and Doc Emmerich. Doc Emmerich's never liked the New York Rangers. Let's call it what it is. You know, he started out in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He made his way up to the NHL, was a Philadelphia Flyer guy for a lot of years, was a New Jersey Devil guy for a lot of years. Where's the New York Ranger love? It was never there, okay?
Right.
It was never there. Let's call it what it is. And if he wants to come on, the show and defend himself, we'll gladly have him on. I used to think he was one of the best. All he does is shriek now. And you're right, he does favor certain guys. Now, Pierre McGuire, let's call it what it is with him. If you want a human encyclopedia of everything and anything hockey, he's the guy you go to.
right.
But other than that, he is a complete idiot. I've watched him for years switch the tides throughout the whole game. This happened. He just contradicts himself throughout the whole game. But you're right. He's another Ranger hater for some reason. You know. So, and yes, he loves Sidney Crosby, and boy does he love Alex Ovechkin. I mean, I wrote on Facebook a week ago that the quote he had in the Islander game in Long Island was something like, Alex Ovechkin takes more hits than anyone else in the NHL. And I just about, like, you know, I wanted to just, like, throw something through the TV screen. are you kidding, Pierre? Are you that stupid?
Yeah.
Nobody hits Alex Ovechkin. I wrote it on Facebook. Nobody hits Alex Ovechkin. Period. And if anybody says they do, they're full of crap. And especially Pierre McGuire. And listen, I will tell him that the next time I see him.
Yeah, it's
Paulie D wants to punch you out.
Let's meet in the ring. No.
That won't last long.
I tell you, it's just, it is. A lot of people probably don't understand what I'm talking about because they do have the option. When I get stuck because I have center ice no longer covers the playoffs, so I have no choice but to listen to the NBC broadcast. And it's painful. I got to tell you, it's painful. As a New York Ranger fan, exactly like you said, the thing is he doesn't, you know, he shouldn't have a dog in the race. And that's the whole purpose of this thing. You know, I'm telling you, it's absolutely painful to listen to this man. But, you know, and the other thing is, you know, NBC, I think it was last week you asked me, I had Gord Murphy, and I tell you what, I think he's one of the best play-by-play guys in the game.
I believe he's from Canada. And he also, you know, also good as John Forslund, the Carolina Hurricane guy. Like he's been doing some of the Detroit games. John Forslund, that's it. Yeah, I like his style too. He's right down the middle. And you know who else is good? Dave Strader's not bad either. But to highlight, I mean, they're obviously the number one and number two go-to guys at NBC. So you know, to me, I just got a question deep down. The higher ups at NBC, like, what is it about these guys that you think that the people need to see and hear all the time? Seriously.
Right. You know? And I tell you, I don't mind. Some people do, some people don't. I don't really mind. I don't mind Eddie Olczyk because he seems to be fair and go down the middle.
He's fair. Eddie's fair when he's doing the game by himself, but when he ends up in the same trio, he sort of sides with the two guys, Emmerich and McGuire.
Yeah.
But when he's by himself, he's a little different. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it's it is the way. Again, I I wrote a little bit of a thing when I was going to the broadcasting school like 8-9 years ago, Paulie, that I thought Mike Emmerich was the best commentator that you know in the NHL. But over the last five, 6 years, I've listened to him, and he's gotten a little more biased. And I, you know, and throwing out where they come from, the high school, the colleges, geez, about 35 times for the same guy every game. I mean, I've had enough of that crap. You know what I mean? I don't know how many times he's got to tell you this one particular player went to this high school or went to this junior kindergarten and all that stuff, and then he'll repeat it over and over and over again every time the guy touches the puck. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, let's get this thing rocking and rolling. Done with some of the rant and rage. All right,
yeah.
So let's start where we originally. Well, I think it's important to talk about where you started because this will get us rolling. The Calgary Vancouver series.
Now, what a great series!
This has been one of the best series to watch as a person who doesn't have a remote interest in this series. To see these Flames, and I'm pretty sure I went with Vancouver and you went with Calgary in this series.
I did.
Calgary's up 3-1.
One of my only right ones. Come on. So far, I'm right
yeah.
on it. One of my only ones.
And I'll tell you, it's been so much fun to see old-time hockey again. And, you know, there's true disdain, obviously. There's just a lot going on. I mean, and it's really a lot of fun to watch. And like you said, you know, the pacifists must be cringing because every night there's a little scuttle or scuffle and or some hard hits and some fists being thrown. And it's great stuff. I mean, you know, it's making headlines everywhere and everybody has a lot to say, and there's a couple of key components that I know you've been talking about when it comes to fans spending money, so I'm going to let you have that right there. I don't want to steal your thunder.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's good to see again, you know, the passion and the determination and the intensity that these two teams have. I mean, yeah, Calgary's up, you know, 3-1, but, you know, they deserve to be. You know, well, I'll talk about them a little bit. They're a young team, and they're a feisty team, and you know what, their team – They don't know how to play any other way but physical, you know, fast, strong hockey. And, you know, the fisticuffs have started out in Vancouver, you know, the first couple games. And, you know, it carried over to the third game. And I'm not positive if it did the fourth game, and I didn't look at the final stats. But, you know, I'm listening to the crowd in these games, and the crowd's just absolutely going wild when this stuff's going on. And I've been saying this to you for a few years now. You know, it's not so much about you know, we want to go back to the 70s and the 80s where the bench is empty and all that stuff there. But, you know, let these guys go a little bit. Let them blow off some steam. And it's good to
right.
see. I mean, the people pay hard-earned money for this stuff. They don't want to see – they want to see guys get retribution on each other once in a while. And the players like it too. It's just, you know, fortunately for Calgary and Vancouver, Paulie, they got a green light to go at it a few times. I think some of these guys wish they had a green light a little more often.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the fans pay a lot of coin, Paulie. And I don't know about you, but I watched the brawl there where they at the end of the game in Vancouver, and you know, the next day another couple other fights, and I just looked at the fans in both cities, and the fans loved it. And I don't know where everybody gets off saying that the fans, you know, despise this stuff, and for the pacifists and all these people that want nothing but clean, hard, you know, hockey and stuff like that. Good luck with it. It's never going to happen 100%. Good luck with it. And you know what? If you have to take little Johnny and little Susie and pull them away from the TV, then do it. We don't need you in the game to start with.
Right.
How's that? How's that?
Yeah, I like it, and I want to finish it off because I think it's important. You know, I think it's a huge factor, and it's really the only factor left that leaves hockey somewhat. It leaves the executives in hockey that probably shouldn't be the executives in hockey. It kind of still leaves their hands cuffed. It's just like you said. No matter what you say or no matter what people think or whatever it is, these games, people are standing, cheering, screaming, you know.
Yeah.
This is the intensity that this game brings. And I think what people forget in this sport itself is that this is the fastest team game in the world. I mean, you know.
There's nothing faster. There's nothing faster.
You can't compare things like, you know, NASCAR and stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. But
that's not
this game
sport.
Is fast. Yeah, this game is fast.
It is, but it isn't.
And it, yeah, I know. And it still has that physical element. You can't take the intensity and the fighting and the hatred, Folly.
It's the hatred and the passion for it.
You know, and
You're supposed to hate your opponent. You're not supposed to like your opponent.
And the only thing that the NHL can't do is figure out how to get rid of it because the fans love it. It's a part of what they pay for because of the passion. So, exciting stuff. Vancouver's down 3-1. Most of these games have been pretty close. We'll see what happens.
I think deep down Calgary, though, the big edge on Calgary has been the goaltending. Jonas Hiller's been absolutely outstanding. And right now he's probably the top, you know, other than a couple other goaltenders. I don't know. I think he's probably as good as anybody in the playoffs right now. He's looked that good in the nets for Calgary, Paulie. I've watched, like I said, quite a few of the games and stayed up late for everyone except for the last one. And Jonas Hiller has been really good, but they got a bunch of young guys in that team, like Ferland and stuff like that. I mean, these are unknown names to everybody out here out east, and
right.
I'm watching these guys, and you know what? They don't know any better. And the other added thing, real quick, before we get on to the next series, is you got to remember who we're talking about here. We're talking about the Western rivalry out there, Calgary and Vancouver, Calgary and Edmonton. You know, it's a triangle there, Paulie. It's been a triangle
right.
there for years, so it makes for really, really good hockey. And we all know how Canadian fans are with their team, so it's built up pretty good. And I'm sure tonight's going to be one of those tough games again.
Well, yeah, I want to give a quick update. Washington's up 3-1 with 15:50 left in the third period, and this game is starting to get real, real chippy. We'll see what happens here. Looks like Clutterbuck's going in the box, and we got some chip
The Islanders are pulling the all fold all here. I think they pulled the all fold all there the other night there in Long Island. They look like they were just playing to lose the other night, and it looks like it's carried over here tonight.
Yeah. As of right now, there's no change in the Tampa Bay game. It's still 2-0 Detroit with about 15:18 left to go in the third.
I was going to say, Tampa could get their golf clubs up, but they basically have them out all year, don't they?
Yeah. You know what? Let's jump to that series, Cots. It's a bit of a surprise. Detroit up 2-1. Tampa was the highest scoring team in the NHL during the regular season. And honestly, all the critics, most of the critics, said this was going to be a walk-by or thought would be a walk-through for Tampa Bay. Such is not the case. They are losing tonight by the score of 2-0. And they are down in the series 2-1. What do you think's going on here?
I totally despise the Red Wings, but I kind of mentioned to you throughout the year that they're kind of team, as much as I hate to admit it, I said they've changed their style of play from their glory years of that Euro invasion garbage that I couldn't stand. They still have quite a few of the Euro guys on their team, but they don't play that way anymore, Paulie. They play a little bit more North American style. They got some more grit. They got some more size. This Mrazek's come out of nowhere, this goaltender. I mean, let's face it, this is what makes history in playoffs, is where they pick these goaltenders up out of nowhere. And he's been shutting them down, Paulie. I mean, And I hate to say it, you know, Steve Stamkos, you know, time for you to show up, or, you know, you guys are going to be popping open a couple of Titleist golf balls pretty soon.
Yeah.
No, seriously. I mean, they don't look, I haven't watched a lot of it. Okay, I'll admit it. It's probably the least series that I've watched the most. But what I've watched, Paulie, they don't look very good.
Right.
They don't look very good to me. So I don't know what's happened here. I mean, very surprising. A team that was pretty consistent all year, maybe faded a little bit towards the end. Absolutely shown no consistency at all. Really, Detroit's outplayed them, and their goaltender's been better.
So I have to be honest with you. I have to be honest with you, and I don't know, many people don't know this because I do not share this often. I'm a very, when it comes to hockey, I stick to certain superstitions. And, you know, I don't share this because I'm really not superstitious at all. When it comes to hockey, if something works, you know, while I'm watching the game or while I'm not watching the game or whatever it is, and I'm going to make this confession, I haven't watched this series for the strict reason, I'm not going to be honest. Obviously, everybody knows that I'm a closet Wings fan in a certain way, and I'm definitely not a Tampa Bay fan. I do, you know, I'm fair in my analysis with them, but I'm not a Tampa Bay fan being in the Tampa Bay area. And there's a lot of reasons why. But Tatsy, you know as well as anybody, you know, I'll rant and rave about guys like Steven Stamkos, always a big Marty St. Louis fan. I mean, you know, I call it the way it is, but I watched the game, some of the game that they won in. I said, okay, I'm not going to watch the series anymore. And sure enough, here it is, Detroit's pull. You know, I didn't watch the game that Detroit won. I watched some of the game that Tampa won, and I haven't watched since, and it's working for me. So that's what I do. Now, I have to make another confession. I did that last year with the New York Rangers. There were some games that I would tape and watch later. So it's just I have a small superstition.
Well, you better start watching because there's too much red in the playoffs.
So with that being said, I haven't watched that series for that reason. And
well, you better start because I can't stand seeing all this red. You got Washington blowing out the Islanders right now. You got Montreal.
Yeah.
Well, when we get to, I will discuss that. Who's very, I think, very fortunate they're up 3-1 against Ottawa because I think Ottawa has outplayed them for probably most parts of every game. But now you got Red Wings looking like they're going to move on. You got the Capitals looking like they're going to move on. And you got Montreal. That's too much red. There's way too much. And the Blackhawks, too. There's way too much red. I don't like the red jerseys. Get them out of there. Especially that one with the wheel and a wing. What is a wheel and a wing? What is that?
I don't know, man. It's the Motor City, brother. But I will say this. Now, on the contrary of that, right, ever since I started watching the Washington series, every game that I've watched, they won. The game that I didn't watch, the Islanders won. So this is the second game now out of the three that I've watched that Washington is winning. So,
you're a jinx.
Anyway,
you're a jinx.
Yeah. Anyway, with that being said, the Red Wings lead the series 2-1. They're up 2-0. There's about 2:41 left in that game. This was supposed to be a walk-on, a walkthrough for Tampa Bay. Not so much. Tati
has pointed
out.
That's a shutout 2 games in a row, isn't it now? They'll be shutout 2 games in a row in Detroit, won't they?
Well, it ain't over yet, but yeah, it's a bunch of
periods.
Well,
I'm just saying, if there's only 2 minutes to go, 2 minutes to go, they got shut out 2-0 the other night. They're going to get shut out, or 3-0. They're going to get shut out again.
Yeah, they're looking at,
Where's that mighty, powerful Ryan Callahan and Brian Boyle and Strowman now, like, to pump up that team? Come on, big boy.
Yeah, well, again,
look at that offense going.
So with that being said, it'd be interesting to see If Detroit does hold on to this 2-0 win, if they do hold on and take a stranglehold in this series, 3-1, what Tampa's going to be able to do. But, Kotz, we both agree that this series is really a lot of goaltending. Mrazek has been really good. And I don't think – I really don't think that Bishop has been good. But I know Bishop's been up and down for a few years now. He's, you know, he can be brilliant and then, you know, he kind of poops the bed. And
he's only brilliant when he plays the Rangers.
Yeah, right.
Because second goal he let in tonight was just awful. Like, he's batting it out of the air, and he ends up batting in his own net.
Yeah, but I do watch the highlights to catch that. Let's move on here. We might as well do this.
Yeah, let's get it going.
The other game, Washington Islanders. Gosh, I'm not familiar with what we picked here. Did we both go Islanders
series? I picked Islanders. I picked Islanders in 7.
I think we
or 6,
might
one
have
or
both,
two. And it looked pretty good when they were up two games to one. Now it looks like they just, like, crapped the bed here. And all the momentum switched Washington's way. I mean, I think that last game in Long Island was critical. I mean, they kind of just, like, there's another goal by Washington. It's 5-1.
Oh, wow. Yeah, 5-1.
They're just Halak's a big sieve tonight, but his teammates aren't doing anything good for him either. I mean, I don't know. I think game 4 was really crucial for the Islanders. If they'd have got up 3-1, I think Washington would have pulled the all-folder like they always do. I mean, they usually don't have any heart, you know, and stuff like that when they get down like that. But now Washington looks like as dangerous a team as there is right now in the playoffs, the way they're playing the last two games. I'm a little disappointed in the Islanders, competing here. They're not competing very well the last couple games.
Yeah, well, it's 5-1, which a lot. You know, it was 11 minutes game.
The only reason why I'm going to watch the rest of this game is maybe, just maybe, there might be a couple of fisticuffs towards the end. I don't know.
Yeah, I got a feeling you're going to see Clutterbuck and Martin out there just a little bit more. Looks like they're pulling Halak. They put in Neuwirth. We'll go from there. I mean, this series, another one, I think, I will say this, man. These guys, these are the two real physical teams in the East. These teams both can be very physical. One of the big stats that I, you know, realized yesterday was the Capitals are rated the heaviest team in the league, weight wise. So that's interesting. And these two teams, I have to say, Cal Clutterbuck is, one of the leaders in hits, and Matt Martin. These two teams have just been knocking the hell out of each other, and there's been a lot of disdain, especially after after that Wilson hit on Vishnovsky. So it's been fun to watch. Obviously, I'm not a fan of either one of these teams, but Kotze will tell you, I was kind of pushing more Capitals just for the benefit of the Rangers. I think the Rangers had a better chance against the Capitals than they would have the Islanders. And reason being is Hopi's been good in this series, but, he reminds me very much of, like, Marc-Andre Fleury. There's times where, Hopi, we've seen repetitiously that he doesn't seem like a dangerous goaltender, and that was one of the reasons why. But Kotze disagrees with me. He thinks the Rangers would have had probably a better matchup against the Islanders, so I'll let you grab that from there.
Yeah, it was a tough call for me. I picked the Islanders, obviously, because, my disdain for Alex Ovechkin, period. I've got to be honest with that. But, the Capitals are a dangerous team, probably because of one thing. You called it right there. You looked it up. By the way, what was the average weight? Did you figure out the average weight? Because I remember when the Rangers played Los Angeles last year, the average weight of the Los Angeles Kings was 211 pounds. So
I thought the number was close to 217.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe there's a lot of big boys on that team, but
that's heavy, man.
Yeah. No, no kidding. Come on. No kidding. That's monsters on skates. You know what I mean? I mean, I think 1 year in my career I played a little heavier than 217, and I was like one of the biggest guys in the league, height per weight, back in my day. So,
right.
You know, now these guys are averaging that. They're their whole team. So that, what does that tell you? But Washington's like the Rangers have handled Washington no problem. I understand all that, but I don't think any time that when the Rangers and Washington play, has Washington been, you know, like never really clicking on their offensive tries, and the Rangers have gotten away with a few. So that's why they worry me a little bit. Plus, they're physical. But, you know, I'm really disappointed in the Islanders, I'll be honest with you. I mean, just you had everything going your way. You know, you split in Washington. You won game three. You lost game four where they didn't even show up, Paulie. I swear to you. I mean, I watched most of game four in Long Island. I thought they were just, like, going through the motions. And I'm thinking, how are you going through the motions in a playoff game? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's what it seemed like to me. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe other people disagree with me. But right now, I mean, all the momentum's in Washington's side. I mean, they're coming on. And Islanders just look like they want to get back home and maybe regroup a little bit, but right now they look awful tonight.
Well, tonight,
you got to be careful of a team that starts to grow in confidence. And if Washington happens to win this thing in six games, then you're looking at a very confident team.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But I will say this, I have watched a lot of, this is one of the other series I really, really watched. And, you know, last game, I wouldn't say I wouldn't agree with you. I thought the Islanders had a slower start than normal, but I thought they, in each and every one of these games, they were in it, and, you know, the physical play was there, and a lot of things were really, really there. And I thought that the Islanders at times had the Washington Capitals as a not-so-confident team, and I was just waiting for the Islanders to kind of, you know, bury a chance here or bury a chance there, and it was kind of like the Capitals hung in and, you know, got through some of the storms, and just, you know, two games went to overtime, obviously, so, and the Capitals
were... The last game in Long Island, the Islanders came out hot, and then the next thing you know, it just—I thought Washington got stronger and stronger with every period, and the Islanders went backwards.
Yeah, I just think this is two really evenly matched teams.
Not that fourth game. I think they were lucky to get it to overtime. Be honest with you,
so
they were lucky to get it overtime. I thought in that fourth game in Long Island, they just to me they looked like they were like zombies on skates. That's
right.
What they looked like to me.
I will agree. I will say this. I tell you what, this is the series that that everybody in the East is going to worry about the winner of this series. I think these two teams are the most physical in the East moving forward. I think they'd be a challenge to anybody who's going to take them on.
You know what this series is, Paulie? This is the Vancouver-Calgary of the East series, like when it comes to the intensity and hitting.
Yeah, yeah. And again,
and yet these guys are a little bigger. I think both these teams are a little bigger than the Calgary and Vancouver teams.
Yeah. So I think this is the team, you know, the team that emerges from here is really going to make a challenge, you know, moving forward in the East. But let's move ahead. Let's go out west. We haven't done anything out west. We haven't talked about the only series that's over, and the Ducks and the Jets. You know, we talked a little
bit
about
it. I already got to tell you, I picked the Jets, and that didn't work out too well. Anaheim's just, you know, they found their game at the right time because they were like kind of up and down, I think, for parts of the season, even though they were one of the best teams all year. Then they came on strong at the end of the year. Ended up with the first number one seed, I think, out west, didn't they, Paulie? And the Jets, I thought they were a hot team coming down the stretch, but yeah, they're just not ready. They weren't ready to play against Anaheim. They had a couple opportunities to steal a game or two, I think, out of the first four, where they had leads like going into the third period or midway through the third, and they just weren't ready. They weren't able to protect the lead, and Anaheim scored goals to tie it up and then win games in overtime and win games late in the game. And, you know, it's nice to see Winnipeg back in, but I guess it's baby steps, and they're just not mature enough. And Anaheim, we know about them the last 3 years. They've been knocking on the door, you know, battling for a Stanley Cup for the last 3 years. So, you know, it's going to be tough to stop Getzlaff and Perry and Boschman, a veteran back there. And that's a big team, too, a big team physically. So did I pick the wrong team? Obviously I did, but, you know, give Anaheim a lot of credit. They got the job done.
I'm going to check the archives, but I'm pretty sure I thought that I said that this would be a sweep. I thought it would be the only.
You should have maybe bet on it.
I know I picked a sweep, and I thought it was here, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, we can't forget, and obviously you stated, you know, the Ducks are a pretty heavy team. They're a pretty good team. They got a lot of skill, a lot of talent, and they are big, and they can do a lot of good things. They're getting good goaltending, too. The thing with the Jets was, and I tell you, man, I mean, God bless the Winnipeg Jets. This is one thing that the NHL, and I'll raise my hand and say, they got it right, man. They put this, franchise, you know, they took the Atlanta franchise and brought them back into Winnipeg. And what success. Let me tell you something. I don't know if anybody was able to watch some of these games. I mean, the fans, even losing 4-0, I mean, the fans stood behind the team, cheered them. It didn't matter. I mean, it wasn't a boo. You know, they all wear white. It's just so cool to see the support for the Winnipeg Jets. And that was really awesome. But I just thought that, the Jets had to play a lot of hard hockey down the stretch to get in. And, you know, they played some tough teams. And a lot of what happened in this series is what I've seen a lot with the Jets. The Jets were learning how to win and learning how to play. They still didn't understand how to win with a lead and play with a lead and stuff like that. And I thought I thought it was a great series. The Jets were in it most of the time. And, you know, Anaheim
didn't
just
get good goaltending either. Pavlik wasn't very good either. I'll be
he
honest.
Wasn't
some
great.
Some of the goals he let in were pretty, you know.
Yeah.
I would say pretty men's league-like.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, though. I mean, again, you know, no disrespect to the Ducks. You know, this is a team. This is a
they
team
are,
to be.
They are what they are.
This is a team to be afraid of coming out of the West. But cool series, and I tell you what, hats off to the Winnipeg supporting, Winnipeg, how they support this team. It's so great to see because the excitement and, you know, after what, 16 years, Cots?
Something like that.
Insane. So, you know what? The Jets, that's another big, strong, feisty, in-your-face type of team. So, you know, hopefully they'll be successful next year because they have great support. Where are we going here?
Let's finish up the East with Montreal and Ottawa here. We haven't really touched
on
that. All right,
Montreal and Ottawa. I think I went Ottawa, I went Montreal, you went Ottawa.
Yep.
Ottawa staves off the sweep last night with a 1-0 win. So you get the shutout. Cots, a lot to be said here. This is a series that you feel could easily be the other way around, yet.
Absolutely. This is one of those things that luck of the draw has always gone Montreal's way. Ottawa's had no luck in this series at all. They scored the first goal in every game. They've led the, I think, every game basically more minutes than Montreal has, period. But in the end, Montreal's been able to find a way to win games. I mean, Dale Weiss comes out and stings you, you know, with less than 5 minutes to go and to tie a game, and then he scores early in overtime to beat you. You know, I'll say it right flat out. Ottawa deserves better. They should be at the bare minimum, even in this series, probably up 3-1. But there's a reason why, though, Paulie. I'll say it. And what have I been saying all year? Who the best goaltender in the league is right now? And that's Carey Price.
Right.
He's been outstanding. I mean, he's just been outstanding. He's basically saved the Habs' butts throughout this whole series, I think. Not to say Ottawa's goaltending's been horrible, but Ottawa's been the better team, I think, for the most part in play. I've watched almost every game. And
right.
Ottawa's been the better team on the ice probably for at least two-thirds of the game. And they, like I said, they scored first in every game. They've had leads late in the third period, going into the third period, and somehow, some way, Montreal's been able to do it. It's that old Montreal Canadian magic, I guess. They bring the ghosts back from Maurice Richard and Kenny Dryden and Larry Robinson, and it's the old story. But the only thing that kills me about that series, Paulie, is like anybody's been able to watch it, and I know they may not pay attention to it, but I do because I grew up on it and I played there. It's like you skate by any Montreal Canadian, there's got to be a penalty when they're playing in Montreal, isn't it? Like just,
yeah.
If you're 3 feet, if you skate 3 feet by a guy, they're up in the stands screaming, like, it's amazing. Things have never changed there. All these years, all these decades, never changed. Don't you go near that Montreal Canadian or we're going to demand a penalty. That's the way the fans have always been there. Pretty passionate stuff. But that's all I got to say about that series. Carey Price, otherwise Ottawa would be leading this series 3-1.
Yeah. All right, let's blow through a couple of these other ones so we can get to discussions on potential matchups and things like that. All right, here's
well,
the series.
What do we got? Minnesota, St. Louis, and we got Chicago and
We're going to go Chicago and Nashville here. I think I pooped the bet on this. I thought I
We've all had to use a few rolls of toilet paper in our picks.
I thought I went Nashville in this thing. I don't remember.
Yeah,
I'll check my notes.
Oh, you went Nashville.
And for Chicago to be up 3-1 in this series, I'm not gonna lie. Surprising to me. I really thought Nashville was. I thought Nashville was somewhat, at least, a first-round contender here. Win, lose, or draw, to be down 3-1, I'm surprised. I got to tell you, I'm surprised.
Well, I'm not, because I think if you go back, like you said, into the Instigator's archives, I kind of said to you, I think there's the old dogs still have a little bit left in them there in Chicago, and I make fun of it, calling them old dogs because they're not really old. But, these guys have won 2 Stanley Cups in the last, 4 years and been a contender for 4 years. And you still got a lot of great players on that team, from Seabrook to Duncan Keith to Taze to, it goes on and on, Sharp and all that. I mean, they showed me how good a team they really are.
Right.
Because –
I agree.
They could have folded that one game when they were down 3-0, Paulie. 3-0 and just getting pounded by the fans in Nashville, and they end up winning it in overtime. I think it was double overtime, I can't remember for sure, but I stayed up for it. That to me showed right there what kind of like team spirit they have. Like they all looked at each other and said, "Boys, we got, we still have 40 minutes of hockey in this game," and they just pecked away, and I won that game right there. And I said to myself, that was my reason really for picking them, is they're a team that's been together a long time. They've only changed maybe 3 to 5 really key parts, like on their second lines and third lines and fourth line, stuff like that. And
right.
They're well coached by Joel Quenneville, and they got a great set of defensemen there. Very mobile with Jamison and Aduya and Seabrook and Duncan. I mean, these guys, they let Nick Leddy go. Figure it out, okay?
Right, right.
I mean, they could have kept Nick Leddy. We know how good he is. I mean, he's awesome.
Yep.
But they got enough, they still got enough bark in their bite. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you make a great point. That was game it was game one. That was. And on the road in Nashville.
I think we were doing a show. We were doing the show that night or something.
You're right.
We were like, boy, it's 3-0 already. And I'm like, wow.
Yep. On the road in Nashville, first period, getting blown out. It's 3-0. And it was like Nashville scored on their first, you know, first 7 shots, and they had 3 goals. I mean, it was retarded. It was where you would have thought, wow, you know, this one's in the books for Nashville, and I guess Chicago will try to pick themselves up. And you make a great point. They come back, score 3 goals of their own in the second period to actually make this thing a game. Goes into 2 overtimes, and Chicago takes it 4-3. And it's a huge statement game as to say exactly what you said. You know what? We might not have flew in the playoffs. We might not be who we used to be. Well, we still got some tricks. We could still score some goals because obviously to score 4 goals, you know, to come back from a 3-0, great point.
Especially in the first game in Nashville, Paulie, where they were just pumped up and fired.
Right.
You got to figure the fact too about Joel Quenneville pulling the goaltender and putting Darling in.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, the guy stopped like 65 shots in a row after that. I don't remember what the number was, but you know, he's gone with him ever since too.
Yes, but here's the other point I want to make about this series now. That's a great point. So game 2 in Nashville, Nashville wins 6-2.
Uh-huh.
So you got to think, you know, what I'm saying is that Chicago's a seasoned team. Down 3-0 in game 1, they come back, win a game. They lose game 2, embarrassing, really, to lose 6-2. Nashville scores 2 in the first, 1 in the second, 3 in the third, 6 goals. You think, okay, Nashville's stating the case. Do you think, now I believe it was in that game, or was it in the third game where Shea Weber gets hurt?
He's hurt in the second game.
Okay.
Shea Weber didn't make the trip to Chicago.
You know, and Chicago's won. Chicago goes on to win two more games here. So
double overtime. They won the last game in double overtime.
So I mean, wow.
They've been there. They've done it. You got to give Quenneville a lot of credit for pulling the goaltender and going with the hot hand and keeping him in there. And this guy's played like hardly any games in the NHL over his career. He's a Chicago native and he's done a great job. But Blackhawks, like I said, they still got that team spirit where they can look at each other and go, okay, boys, it's time to get to work. And that's what they did in that first game. Yeah, you know, the second game looks bad, but, Paulie, that game was 3-2 with about 10 minutes to go in the third period. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it was like bang, 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 a couple of quick goals by Nashville late in the game made it the 6-2 thing. But it was still a 3-2 game, about 10 minutes through the third period. So it wasn't like Chicago blown out for the whole game. Just the numbers look bad at the end. Listen, Nashville's a good team. Don't get me wrong. They lost Fisher. They lost Weber, 2 key guys on their team. But you know what? There's no excuses. You can't make excuses for players that are lost, okay? You know, I think deep down everybody wants to use an excuse, but, you know, we all sat there and clenched our teeth and crossed our fingers and everything else. And Lundqvist went down and Cam Talbot came through. You know what I mean? And the Rangers team came through for him. So,
right.
You know, Shea Weber's a big loss, but what are you going to do? Not play the game without him? You know what I mean? You got to play it. So.
Big updates here, big updates. Tampa Bay and Detroit are tied with a minute and 15 seconds left to go in the third period. Looks like
that's what happens when you
scored.
Watch the game a little bit, Paulie.
Yeah, and Tyler Johnson. So Tampa Bay scored late goals, nevertheless, in the third period. So it is now tied 2-2 with a minute and 11 seconds left. And
Looks like Washington.
Come on, Tampa. Let's go, Tampa.
It looks like Washington has defeated the Islanders in the final score.
They embarrassed the Islanders tonight.
5-1. So I'll keep you updated on the Tampa Bay score as we go and we finish around the league here. Okay, so, you know, Chicago's in the lead and pretty impressed there. Finally out west, the last series we got to talk about is this one's been a fun one, Cots. Big game the other night for the Blues to get back in this thing. I picked Blues all the way, and I really, this is the one where I predicted five games, maybe six. I just didn't think the Wild had enough left in the gas tank to go through this and to fight such a big, strong club. These are two different sized teams. So, Gotzi, St. Louis Blues win the other night by the score of 6-1. They really took it to Minnesota, tied this series up. I still favor the Blues the rest of the way here, but pretty impressed with the way Minnesota won game one and seemed to motor on there. So Blues tied the series up, but this series is a lot closer than I think a lot of people thought it would be.
No, I think I had the Blues too, and I was relating them to the San Jose Sharks over the last 6-7 years, where I think the Blues, they've kind of built this team, starting with, the former GM there, John Davidson, to the guy they got now, and, everybody's been waiting for them to come through, and I kind of said this, I think, on our last show, that, it's either now or never. It's time to bust this team up, because they really failed, I think, the last 2-3 years, with their expectations, and it didn't look good there, going into last night's game, to be quite honest with you, Paulie. They were getting beat 2-1 going into the fourth game in Minnesota, but they came out flying last night, and I think they really, really understood how desperate they had to be and how good a game they had to play last night, and they came out flying against a really good Minnesota Wild team. I've been hearing about Minnesota all year. I've seen them play against the Rangers and at the Garden and also on the road. So, the part that kills me is that I think we underestimated the speed of the Wild. I think they're actually a little bit faster than St. Louis. St. Louis might be a bigger team, but I think the reason why is the Wild's a little quicker, and that's why they're giving St. Louis a bit of a trouble. And I don't think this series is over that easy yet. I think St. Louis gets to take a deep breath because they staved off being down 3-1 going home. Now they got things even, but they better not take it lightly here in Game 5, because just as easily as Minnesota won the first game there in St. Louis, they could do it again. And I'll say it flat out: if St. Louis doesn't advance in this series, it's time to blow up a few players on that team. Your David Backuses, your Oshies, your Jackmans, guys that have been around there for a while. I mean, it's time to move on. I mean, they've been building this thing for about 5 years now. And it's not acceptable, Paulie, if you don't get past at least one round. I can't recall the last time they got past the first round. I mean, they might have one time in the last 4 or 5 years, but that's not good enough. They poured a lot of money into that team.
Yeah, no doubt. This series is all tied up at 2. And
Tarasenko's pretty good, isn't he? Like I hate pumping Russians, but that guy's for real too. I mean, scoring the 3 goals in one game, the goal he scored last night. I mean, as much as I don't like Russians, I wish I had that skill when I was playing, with my attitude of North American. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I tell you what, you give him any time or space, actually,
He's actually a little more accurate than Ovechkin, because I heard Ovechkin has had 54 shot attempts already in this series, and how many goals? 2 goals?
Yeah,
so
Tarasenko's
got a little better shooting average.
Yeah, and he makes his own time and space, really. He's really going to be a phenom.
Shifty guy.
No
very
doubt.
Shifty.
No, I will agree. I think what's keeping Minnesota in this thing is their speed and their ability to, you know, scoring the rush and stuff like that. So, you know what? This team has really made a huge turn. You know, I mean, they were tanking all year. They weren't very good, and, you know, they struggled, and, you know, they bring in Dubnyk, and they turn this thing around. They make the playoffs, and, you know, they're giving the Blues a run for their money, and very much even at deuces here. So, you know, they got as much a stake as anybody else. So pretty impressed with the Wild, because really I thought that they had to play so much playoff hockey down the stretch, they wouldn't really have a lot left to play such a big, brawny team like the Blues. So I give them a lot of credit. This thing is far from over, man. Pretty impressed there. Very impressed that this is tied at two. You know, I'll tell you this. It's Tampa Bay Detroit going into overtime. So this is a huge game for the Lightning. If the Lightning drop this game, I think the sheets will be soiled in this series for them.
You think?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Get the suntan lotion out. Get them Pro-V1 Titleist ready.
Hey, there's no pressure in the state,
though. And make sure you got your gator repellent.
Yeah, yeah. I got some pictures for you. But, yeah, you know what? There's no pressure on this team at all. So people here don't really know much about hockey. Don't really care.
Well, what are they still waiting for Warren Sapp to recreate himself there? Why? What's going on?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. All right. Well, you know, obviously it leads us into the major series that we would been wanting to discuss all night long, and talk about the Rangers over the Penguins right now. Three games to one going back home. Cots, you know, I called you aggravated last night.
You were hating everything last night.
Yeah, I was the Italian ball of hate last night. I have to be honest with you, you know, and I know Ranger fans get on me for this, but I'm gonna tell you, man, I'm disappointed in a lot of different ways. I know it's playoff hockey, and I get that. I think the Penguins have really kept this series very tight. I was expecting much different. I was expecting the Rangers of the regular season. Not so much. This team's a very bendable but yet not breakable team. Very much like we've seen in past playoffs. It gets you to the end of your seat and you're biting your nails. I mean, they've won every game in this series by the score of 2-1. They've all been tight games. That's, you know, my concern, like I told you last night, was not so much of getting out of this series, but, oh, boy, am I afraid to play a team that actually can play this team physical. Because you got to think, the Penguins aren't a real physical team. Did they go out during the trade deadline and pick up a couple of guys to change the Penguins of the regular season? Yes, they did. And I think that's another important key I'm going to bring up later on in the show. But I'll let you talk about, you know, how you feel about this series right now.
Well, I mean, in the end, I mean, it's all about results. I mean, playoffs are playoffs. Have the Rangers have been perfect in every game? I don't think they played a perfect 60-minute game yet. Other than I think the first game in Pittsburgh, they were pretty good all the way through, even though they kind of slowed down a little bit in the third period and they had to hang on. But, you know, it's one of those, Paulie. I mean, you got to give Pittsburgh a little bit of credit. And I think, you know, you mentioned something earlier that, you know, that kind of stuck out about Fleury and Net there, Marc-Andre Fleury. Paulie, he's been really, really damn good in this series. Whether you want to believe it or not, if it wasn't for him, this would be over by now.
Yeah.
He's been the one shining star, I think, for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Other than that, I would say Hornquist is probably the other one. I look at Sidney Crosby, and he's trying out there, but he has that look on his face that of frustration, you know, that the talent level around him isn't quite what it used to be. I mean, when you really think about it, it's not. It's not. And I've been saying this for a couple of years now about that team. They're not as loaded on the second and third and fourth lines as they used to be with key integral players that could actually, you know, add to the offense.
Chip.
But on the other hand,
yes.
on the other hand, the Rangers, they've yet to play a full 60-minute game, and yet they're up three games to one. Lundqvist has been you know, very good to excellent. I will say that. He's made some really key saves late in games to keep these games at 2-1. I think they're kind of lacking a little bit in offense due to their power play. I mean, let's face it, it just totally sucks. I don't care what anybody says. It's awful. It's, I think they're 2 for 16 in the series, 2 for 1, and that's just not good enough because that's part of their game, and you're the one who brought that up to me. That's part of their game. If you're not going to be overly aggressively physical, you know, monstrous, hard-hitting team, then you're going to have to capitalize on the other team getting over-aggressive with you, and they're not doing that enough, and they haven't been doing it all year. And it's been a problem for about 8 years now with the New York Rangers. For some reason, everybody comes to New York to help out on the power play. And I'm not blaming Keith Yandel. I mean, you will, but I won't. I'm not blaming anybody. It just seems, for some reason, this happens to the New York Rangers. It doesn't matter who's coaching, who's not coaching. You know, they want to design plays. They want to do this. They want to do that. Bottom line is keep it simple. Nothing's worked with your artistic plays. Keep it simple. Get the puck on goal. Get Rick Nash out from the front of the net. Put him back on the side area by the hash marks. Let him create from there. Put Chris Kreider in front of the net. Get two guys on the point that know how to get the puck through. I don't care about passing. Just get the puck through to the net, and everybody crash the net. It's pretty simple. That's what they got to do. But that being said, Paulie, they're up 3-1. They're going home. Game 5.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you were expecting a sweep. I wasn't expecting a sweep. Rangers have not really played blowout hockey all year. What they've done, Paulie, is play consistent hockey all year. They consistently won, whether it was 3-2, 4-2, 2-1, 5-3, 5-1. They never had any run where they put games together where they won 4-0, 4-1, 5-1, 5-2, 6-3. They never did any of that this year. It was always just consistent wins, you know, play great for 2 periods and then kind of slow down in the third and all, give us a little bit of a heart attack. But that's what they've done all year, and that's how they win. And they've done that 3 times in this series so far, Paulie. And, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop, you know, like I think everybody's, like you and I have talked about it, it hasn't dropped. So you got to be happy.
Yeah.
If you're a Ranger fan right now, you got to be happy. If you're a Ranger, you got to be happy. You're going back home. And I think you got a frustrated group of Penguins over there. Malkin, I don't know if he's hurt. People are trying to say he's hurt. I just think he doesn't like to play when things get tough. That's just the way I am. You know, he's typical. He's a typical Russian. You know, when things are easy, boy, he'll dazzle you. But things are tough out there. The Rangers are checking him really close. And what, he had one shot on goal, I think, yesterday or something like that.
Yeah. And he hasn't been good in the series. Yeah. Well, let me add on a couple of points that you've discussed. I mean, obviously, yes. As a Ranger fan, as a Ranger player, you got to be happy. You're up 3-1. Couple of things that I definitely agree with. You know, obviously, it's playoff hockey. It's never going to be easy. Second off, you're still playing a very capable team in the Pittsburgh Penguins who struggled late in the year, but for the most part of the year had a good maintenance plan and stayed, you know, top of the heap and was up top. So I get it. You know, it is the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they're not a pushover team. Fleury has been good, which
he's
is
been really good. I mean, I hate to admit it.
Different
he's been really,
last
really
year.
Good for them.
Different from last year, and it's funny because in my notes here, I said, you know, the Rangers series, my biggest concern is the power play, and I'm not going to sit here and blame Yandel, Kotz. That's not what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is, like I said in the beginning, when it transpired, I didn't think Yandel was a need for the team, and the Rangers gave up an awful lot to get Keith Yandle, and it's water under the bridge, and there's nothing you could do about it now. He's a New York Ranger, and is going to be for the next couple of years, and it is what it is, and it is, and it's done. But point being is this. That was a big trade for the New York Rangers, and it was to acquire a power play specialist, a puck handling specialist, a guy who could pass the puck, and a guy who's going to help you score goals on the power play. The bottom line is, as we all know, we know what the game plan is against the Rangers, and we know what the Rangers are. They're a speed, quick transition, puck possession type of team, and I get that. And we also spoke, and I mean, come on, I don't have the greatest hockey mind in all the world, but I know the game well enough to say, you know, this team isn't physical. So teams are going to try to take liberties. And the whole point and the whole key of picking up a guy like Yandle is that this team must be successful moving forward, not just with the Penguins, not in this just this series, because the series would be a blowout if the Rangers would – you know, we're 15%, 10% on the power play. You know, that would have 16 goals. I mean, 16 or 18 penalties. So my point is this. If this power play doesn't get going as the Rangers move forward, I don't like their chances. And that's my point about that. I think the power play needs to become somewhat confident and successful moving forward, or else I think this team is going to struggle mightily moving forward, because teams know the recipe to keep the Rangers' game plan somewhat at bay. No, it's playoff hockey is a completely different peg than the regular season.
No, you and I totally agree on that. I mean, we discussed that off the air. We've discussed it on air, but. You know, the only thing I could say to you is, and none of us are going to be right until it happens, because it hasn't happened yet. I mean, it never happened all year. And you know, the teams have tried, but you're right. They never got to play them 4 games in a row, 5 games in a row to see if it works. But, you know, I agree with you. You know, the power play has to get better, because, you know, Pittsburgh's an undisciplined team to start with. I mean, they take some pretty dumb penalties. I mean, some of their younger guys or newer faces are taking dumb penalties. Downey's taking some dumb penalties. I mean, but as they get into the playoffs deeper, you're going to play some teams that are a little bit more wise, a little more veteran-like, a little bit more savvy, and you're going to have to capitalize on the power play, because, no, let's call it what it is. Rangers are the least physical team in the National Hockey League. They are.
Yep.
Any Ranger fan wants to argue about it, you know, that's for another day, but you know it's the truth. It's the absolute truth. They're the least physical team there is in the NHL, period. But it hasn't worked against them yet, Pauly. It just hasn't worked against them. Their speed, their goaltending, their tight D, it's been consistent. That's why they were the number one team overall. I mean, how do you get that way? I mean, I don't know. And right now, you know, Pittsburgh's trying a little bit to play physical with them. They may not be the biggest physical team. They've taken some runs at some of the Ranger players, like McDonough and stuff like that, and you know, some of the other guys. But it's not working, you know. And I don't know. I just think right now the Rangers, you know, got to finish the series off Friday night. You don't want to go back to Pittsburgh. I mean, to play that extra game. You know, how I always feel about that. The less games you play, the better off you are in the playoffs.
Right.
And they'll just have to worry about who they got to play next after that, you know, what kind of style they play. And by then, maybe Klein will be back in the lineup. He does add a little bit more of a physical presence, but he's not really overly physical like I would like to see. He's probably been their best defenseman all year, which is a good thing. And I'm not knocking Matt Hunwick. I think Matt Hunwick's played great for the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
Honestly, since the trade deadline, he's done his job. You know,
yes,
he's quietly gone about his job quietly. He's you know, he's not really a liability out there. He's actually a positive, I think.
For
the Rangers,
I agree.
But, you know, but the power play. You're right, Paulie. You know, if they're going to win the Stanley Cup, they're going to have to be. I think they're going to have to be like somewhere around 18 to 20% overall to win the Stanley Cup, because teams will take runs at them, teams will play them physical. Teams will play them nasty, And if you're not capable of answering back in that, the only way you can answer is by putting the puck in the net on the power play.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
And I just want to see them change their power play. I don't believe in Elaine Vigneault and Scarter O'Neill's style. Tampa Bay just won. See what happens when you watch?
You sure? Hold on here.
Tampa Bay just scored. He scored!
Are you kidding me?
They made somebody look really bad. I don't even remember who. I can't even tell you who scored. It was that quick a play.
Look at this. Final in overtime. Tyler Johnson.
Oh, it's going to be the big man. It's going to be the big man here. Look at Hedman. Nope. What an angle shot. Wow.
Wow.
That's a great shot. Look at that angle.
How do you blow a 2-0 lead going into the third like that?
Easy.
That hurts. Come on, Ben.
You know how you blow a 2-goal lead? You didn't get the third goal. But back to the Rangers, like before we wrap up the show,
yeah.
I'm pleased with the outcome so far, 3-1. But the power play. I'm tired of all this passing around. I'm tired of seeing the first unit that's out there right now. I do not understand the thinking there with the first unit. It's always Stepan, Kreider, and Marty St. Louis. I don't understand it. I'm sorry. Rick Nash is your leading scorer. He should be out on the first unit. He should not be in front of the net. He should be off to the side somewhere where he can create, where he can jump into the cracks and the crevices and the open lanes, because he can create. You know that. And he is one of the better passers on the team. People don't give him credit for that, too. But him standing in front of the net, when's he touched the puck? The puck's not getting through.
Right.
I told you this last year in the L.A. series.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Kotz.
Just get the puck to the net. Get Chris Kreider in front of the net. And if you're going to play that sideboard game, you need somebody who knows what he's doing there. Marty St. Louis is good. What's that?
The goals, it's a perfect example. The goals they're scoring. Kreider scores down, he's down low. It's rebound opportunity.
The tying goal by Broussard yesterday was what? Rick Nash firing it from a bad angle, a rebound in front of the net. Hagelin and Broussard are battling for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was a smart shot by Nash. It wasn't. He wasn't trying to score on it. He was just trying to. Oh, here we go.
You're talking already
in Vancouver and Calgary. They're talking at the red line.
too many passes on the power play.
It's that, you and I have argued about it. I'm going to say it again. It's that stupid European influence that came over here, and we got to make the perfect picture goal. You know, it's got to be perfect. It's not good enough that it's in the net. We want to make every guy on the other team look bad before we put it in the net. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, moving forward here, I think we pretty much said it. The Rangers aren't a physical team. Teams are going to play them physical. That is the game plan against to have any success. Now, if you're going to play an open game with this team, you're going to whip your tail most nights.
Teams know that,
so the only other plan is to try and clog up the neutral zone and dump and chase and make the defense cough up the puck, and they're gonna take more penalties playing that style against the New York Rangers, and then the only way the Rangers are gonna bust it open and take care of it is. This series could be over right now if the Rangers would have, done what they had to do on the power play. They could be staying at home waiting to see who they're going to play. So, moving forward, I really feel that the power play is detrimental to the winning and losing of the Stanley Cup for this team.
I agree. But you know what else the Rangers have done very well too against Pittsburgh though, Paulie, is listen, they've neutralized their offense pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I like in the neutral zone, stuff like that, where they can't really get any kind of flow going. Yeah, there's been like a I understand. There's ebbs and flows in a game, and Rangers played a little defense, prevent defense for a couple games there, and then things got a little hairy in the game there in game three there in Pittsburgh. But they've done a good job of shutting down the Penguins on game, I think, to come to the neutral zone and to the blue line and getting a lot of opportunities. So they've done a good job. Rangers, they're a silky puppy. They clog up the neutral zone, and they use their speed. How to beat them? You're going to have to play physical, but you're going to have to maintain your speed with them. You're going to have to stay out of the penalty box. You know what? You can't guarantee that. That's the bottom line, because when a team's faster than you, you get frustrated. You do things that you shouldn't do. You hook, you slash. You know what I mean? You get a little angry because the guy's a little quicker than you. Uh-oh, Chicago scored again. Look who scored for Chicago.
That's sharp.
Brad Richards.
I tell you though, Pecorine, I don't know, man. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little surprised.
He's
this
Paulie,
guy. This guy's usually been lights out. You know, yeah.
He hasn't played bad, Paulie. I've watched all these games. He has not played that bad. He's played pretty good. That game that they came back to win 4-3 in overtime. It could have been over in the third period. Remember how the saves he made? Chicago was just coming on like gangbusters.
I'm just trying to figure out
where they're going to get their scoring from. Where is it they get their scoring from in Nashville? I mean, I know they got Wilson and you know a couple other guys, but nobody else stands out like offensively to me on that team. I mean, look at Chicago.
That's a team that works hard and pounds away and gets their scores a lot of dirty goals, but you know.
Because Chicago's loaded with offense.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. They're a good team. Great team, man. Great, great, great stuff. I tell you what, the playoffs has been a lot of fun, a lot of surprises, a lot of strange, you know, a lot of strange in between. New York Rangers tomorrow night, Friday night, at home.
Listen, I want the place to be loud. You know what? I it's been a long time since I've heard Madison Square Garden like it used to be. I want to hear it, like, just absolutely ear-piercing loud.
I
want them to make it
insane.
Difficult for – what's that?
I thought they were really good. The fans were really good in game one. I was proud of them.
That building is not as loud as it used to be. It just
I agree.
I want them to go absolutely bonkers tomorrow night. Make it so difficult for the Pittsburgh Penguins, like, to hear and think and all that stuff. Just –
yeah,
go at it.
Yeah.
I think it will be. I think as the old saying goes, I think there's blood in the water. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I tell you what, the Ranger fans hate them Penguins. So, Ranger fans hate the Penguins. Hate Sidney Crosby. Hate the Penguins. You know what? For a long time, they used to beat up us. You know, it used to be the other way around. The Rangers, as of late. You know, have had some success against the Penguins, but I remember for years it was always the other way around. You know, Mario and Jagr, and you know, just beating up on the Rangers, and even the era, the early era of Crosby when they were doing well. You know, the Rangers couldn't pass them, couldn't get through them, it's nice to have a little payback and. You know, what we did to them last year and, you know, how we usually win the season series is and that kind of stuff. So, it's good stuff, man. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. So, later on tonight, well, what do we got there? What? Probably in the next 15 minutes, they're going to drop the puck over in Calgary.
Yeah.
They're in
Nashville.
It's actually they're in Vancouver tonight, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, it'll be a loud and wild game there too.
I'm going to hit the DVR button as soon as I get off the radio. well, I mean, with that said, Kotz, I don't know where we are next week. The possibility of Wednesday or Thursday, so we'll see.
We'll see
what the schedule dictates. For that, you know, let's go Rangers. Big game tomorrow night.
Hey, listen,
Close it out.
Listen. Before you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want you to enjoy Doc Emmerich and Pierre McGuire tomorrow, okay? Okay.
Oh boy. I might take
I'll get Sam and Joe on mine.
Yeah. Keep rubbing it.
Hey, I'm telling you, I tell you what, rewire your car over during the afternoon and get the FM station, you'll get Maloney and what's his face on and the radio.
I might do that. I might try to plug it in on my phone, the radio, and then
there we go.
I might do that. So anyway, Percassi and I, it's always a pleasure to bring you to the show. We'll let you know next week where we'll be. It's either Wednesday or Thursday. Let's go, Rangers. Good night, everybody.
All right.
Hey guys, this is Paulie D with the Instigators Hockey Show with some exciting news. Now's your chance to advertise with us right here on the show. Whether it's a live read-in or a produced spot, this is the time to go top shelf and advertise with the Instigators Hockey Show. For more information, please email us at theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. That's theinstigatorshockeyshow@gmail.com. And drop the gloves on the competition.